What is up, my girls? This is the Brain is the New Ass podcast, proudly hosted on the How Deep Health Network. Why Brain is the New Ass? Because what's going on in your mind is the hottest thing about you. This podcast is meant to light you up in a way that brings you joy and value. I'm Katie Brigham, co-founder of Violet Fog Potions and the host of this podcast. Here we like to talk a medley on health, love and dating, the highs and lows of mundane life, and all the good habits. Here we thrive on stories and tips, the perfect combo. If we record a podcast and it's not juicy, truthful, to the point, and of course, unfiltered, it's not airing. Rate us, leave us a review, and join in on the girl talk. Thanks for listening to Brain is the New Ass. Hello, hello. Welcome to this episode. If you are interested at all in nervous system regulation, you are going to love this episode. This episode is so good. Let me tell you this. One of my best friends, Hope, was visiting, and she was in the other room trying to sleep while I recorded this. And she's like, I couldn't even sleep because I heard you and Faith, who we interview here in this episode, talking. And I listened to the entire thing. It is so freaking good. So you're going to love hearing Faith. She's Faith of That Healing Feeling. She's a brain training coach. She's amassed hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok and Instagram. She has changed so many lives with her program. In this episode, we talk nervous system regulation, chronic pain. We talk health trends. We talk so much good stuff. You're going to absolutely love it. You're going to love Faith. You can find her at Faith Ashenden. I don't know if I said that right. .com. That's going to be in the show notes. And at That Healing Feeling. She's incredible. Here is Faith. Faith, I am so happy that you're here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
It was so funny. I was like thinking the first thing I wanted to say with people like listening to you, and I wanted to say, anyone, if you're going to go to Faith's page for anything, go see her baby Leo because he's the cutest thing in the entire world.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I know.
I literally can't stand it still. I know I've told you that before, but like, I really wanted to stick for you how obsessed I am with Leo.
Oh my gosh. You're so sweet. Well, I am too, but obviously I'm slightly biased, but yeah, I go through phases where I like pepper my feed with Leo, even though I'm ultimately like a resource. And I'm like, by the way, here's like 7 photos of my baby.
Oh, he's the cutest thing ever. So yeah, if you're going to go to paid for one thing, go for freaking Leo. Cause
no, thank you.
Your happiness on a screen. So we all want to know, cause I feel like so many of my friends, your friends, we all know that you recently moved to the UK. And so I would like to know, are you happier in the UK or are you hoping to return to Austin one day?
Well, to be honest, like we moved here, gosh, what was it, like 7-8 months ago? And I still feel like I'm moving in just because it's been like such a process of like we're still buying because we didn't move any of our furniture. So yeah. We started fresh. It didn't make any sense because it was like the same amount of money to fly it across that it was to just literally buy everything new, like cars, house, furniture. And so we're still in the process of renovating our current house, like little things,
yeah,
buying all our furniture. And so I feel like I'm settled-ish, but it's not enough to say, I can't even get my head around what would be the next step of where I would move next, because I still feel like I'm settling in the UK, if that makes sense. It probably feels for other people that I've been here longer, whereas like I've been going through this action of settling. And
I think honestly, even under 2 years, you're still brand new. Like that's how I feel. Like the first 2 years, I really still felt brand new.
Yeah, exactly. So there have been like a series of pros and cons, as with any, especially like cross, you know, world move given, I mean, granted, like the UK is like pretty similar to the States, but, you know, like they're the biggest pros being, being close to family and having help and just like my baby growing up around family. And now of course the second baby, but, you know, pros, there have been tons of them. Cons, my opinion, the healthcare system. Overall, I really feel up on the deal. I feel really grateful. It definitely is like a long time coming. So I don't see myself moving back to the States anytime soon. We always say we never rule it out, but I don't want to be like uprooting my family now that they're the kids are going to be used to the culture. But I think that Matt and I will probably get property in the States later on in life and like kind of toss up between the two because I can't like leave America forever.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. Aww. Well, I'm so happy that you're doing well in the UK. Your house is beautiful. The daily walks with the nature is amazing. Okay.
Oh my God.
So beautiful. I'm happy that you're doing well in the UK. Okay. So I want to know, what are three things health-wise right now that you're loving? Like this could be books, a practice that you're doing, a food that you're like into, like just like right now of the moment, what are three things like wellness, health kind of related that you're into?
So Matt and I have been juicing every morning, which in Austin, I ordered Alchemy Juice and like massive shout out. That was like the best, like 64 ounces delivered every Monday, organic cold press. You can get it in London, but it's like a, you know, it's like tiny little like glass containers sent for like 3 days. So juicing every morning has been like a ritual that started out of necessity and now is becoming our like little habit, kind of how like you are into plants now, like we're into juicing and we're both like really passionate about it. And so that's been one thing. Another thing, and these are things that I have all come out of necessity because of the move, if I'm being completely honest, is running my own labs. So like I was a huge advocate in the States of, I did every 3 months, I would do like a huge nutrient panel, like a lot of hormone stuff. And, you know, like I always say, test, don't guess. Like there's a lot of talk on social media of taking like willy-nilly supplements. And I just don't think that's a good idea. I think you should be targeted. And I know that you agree, but like here, and I, you know, it's such a different system. You can't really, like, even if you want to do that, you can't really access that unless you're like basically doing it yourself. And so I've been like, luckily I had all this like runway in the States of interpreting my lab work and in conjunction with a practitioner who's a functional medicine doctor who was trained in the States, who has a licensed practice here. I basically order it on my own. And that's been kind of an interesting, fun thing because it's like, how can I tailor my diet based off my knowledge and research in conjunction with my practitioner and like based off my symptoms, ordering different labs, but all called for by myself, which is kind of different. So that would be like the second thing. And then I would say my third thing, I mean, this isn't, I'm not sure how much it falls into a wellness category, but just with being like so busy with the business taking a step up and then a toddler and being pregnant and moving and renovating and all this just crazy stuff that I'm doing, I've kind of gone back to school in a sense. I just continue to get certified and I've been very much more strategic with my time in that I study while I'm getting ready. And so I used to like look at getting ready as like, ugh, I'm sure you get this. Like when you're in front of the camera, you have to like put in effort a lot to be like on if you are on social media, which is like a lot of energy and effort where you're like, I just want to like not do that today, but I like, I'm going to put on a bra and I'm going to put on some mascara and brush my hair and whatever. And so I've kind of like done this whole perspective shift of like using my time to like tidy up like the upstairs and get ready and invest like a good hour every single day in studying and continuing my studies and getting certified. And that's just like totally transformed my life in just taking a habit stack of something that I already do and stacking something new onto that. And then thinking I was spending that time doing a whole lot of nothing, like scrolling or listening to a voice note or whatever. And like now I'm like up leveling my life in the biggest way by literally just like listening to my courses.
Are you okay? So you're doing like audiobook of your courses.
The courses are all, and so that's like my prerequisite that I look for. I'm like, it has to be something I can listen to because I have to have my hands.
Yes, for sure. Oh, I love that. Gosh, I need to be better about having a morning routine. And then that would be such a perfect habit stack. I love doing two things at once. My ADHD brain like loves that. So I might steal that one from you. And also, I do want to say, this is just side note, Faith, like you, like there are like certain girls that I'm like friends with who are in the same like wheelhouse of like what I'm doing or similar, you know, on social media. Like you're so good about being presentable on social media. I feel like I come on looking like a freaking goblin like half the time. But it does like, you know, I feel like when you feel really good though, like when you just kind of like put in a little bit of effort, you show up a little bit differently.
And do you know what? It's more that I have now I have my membership, I have my group coaching, and I have these videos I record that are evergreen, that live there forever. And so I feel this pressure to like look professional for that because that's different than Instagram, right? So if it were just Instagram, I would just, you know, like, come on. But I think because I have to do that, it's like forcing me. It was like something I was really struggling with. It's like, I know it sounds like so first world, but it's like, I have to come on. And especially when I was in my first trimester and I was like, obviously very sick and like putting on makeup, whatever. And it's like, I feel like I have to do this for my evergreen courses or programs. And then it just looks like I'm put together on Instagram, but it's more that it's like, it's all for that. Because before that, I just didn't put in that much effort, I would have to say.
I do think, though, it really does give you confidence. Like, I will go through spurts. Just, I don't know what it is, but I just, like I won't get ready. I, of course, will do my skincare. I'll eat healthy. I'll work out, all these things, but I, like, won't get dolled up. But I've been getting dolled up a little bit more often lately. It's been so good for my self-confidence.
It's
like,
huge.
Does it feel good for your self-confidence, too? Like, when you're like, ooh, like, I'm dolled up, and now I can, you know, cook and do the other things, like, a little bit dolled up.
Huge. Absolutely huge. And even for some reason when I'm pregnant, I noticed this last time I was pregnant too, like it makes me want to do it more. I don't know why. I think it's just like innately you feel this need for self-care when because your body wants you to take care of yourself and like slow down and do those things. And so I posted the other day, like I got a manicure and pedicure, which I literally never do. And I was like, I feel like I can talk with my hands into the camera because they're so fancy now that my nails are done. And like, I was like, I did this whole like recording that day because I felt so like, wow, my hands are so beautiful today. So like, it is really inspiring to put in that effort, but it can be hard sometimes to prioritize it is the problem.
Yeah, for sure. It's a feminine thing. I'm excited about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Switching course. What is a health trend that you've tried that you think has merit, but it's just wasn't for you?
I think this is going to be really controversial, and I think this is probably like one of the most controversial things I talk about on my programs.
It is controversial as possible.
I mean, it's not like your average person would be like, that's not controversial at all, but anyone who's like in the wellness sphere, if you will, perhaps would think so. So for people who don't know what I do brain training. So I essentially like, and I know we'll talk about it later, but just to contextualize this, like, you know, we kind of try to turn off pain signals in the body through training our brains. And so one of my like claims to fame was healing my dairy intolerance through doing this brain training. Obviously, there is a physiological component to any type of intolerance. So like if you are bloating or, you know, whatever from different foods, you want to understand why. But there's a lot of people who don't have that physiological component anymore and still dance around like 1,000 food groups and don't live in freedom when it comes to their food. And I just have a real problem with that because I don't like the association of fear with nourishment if it is and could potentially be nourishing. And so I think that the gluten-free, dairy-free movement has taken over social media in a really big way to where we've absolutely villainized these food groups to where people are associating it so much with fear that they are like inherently based off the work I do. And I know that some people are in a sense inflicting these symptoms through sending messages of fear to the nervous system. Again, not to say that physiologically there isn't a component for a portion of the population, but not for, I think, everyone who is dancing around this. And I was in that space where physiologically I couldn't eat those before I had healed. But then I did heal and I still danced around it. So now I have like total food freedom where I eat gluten and I eat dairy and I like feel nourished and I do my nervous system work before I eat it. And so while I see the merit and I think depending on the quality of the gluten and the dairy, you know, it can be inflammatory and or have negative effects based off like the diagnosis of a person and stuff like that. I still am such an advocate of freedom in this space and it rubs people the wrong way in the wellness integrative space because they're like, oh, what? We know that this is inflammatory. And I just think, but isn't it interesting to have this perspective shift in the power of the mind that healing actually means stepping into a reality where you can tolerate different things without getting that inflammatory response. So I have, like, in the work that I've done, moved into incorporating that, and like, I still feel great and I don't have any antibodies and I still haven't flared and everything has been perfect. And so I think it's really interesting.
That is really interesting. I mean, I think like there is something to that because we, like, in a way, like, cock block ourselves sometimes by like just assuming that the worst is going to happen and then it happens, you know? Like, I've said this, this is like kind of like random, but I said this on a previous podcast. I used to think if I got less than 7 hours of sleep, that my day was just going to be shit. And there's no way I'd even have energy. I couldn't get to the gym. I'd like, my day is just donezo. And I would just tell myself that if I got like that, you know, and then what do you know? Like, that's how my day was. That's literally how my day was. And then I did my epigenetics and she's like, actually, you have genes that like 7 hours, you would do fine on 7 hours. You'd actually do fine on like 6.5 or whatever. And then I just started telling myself like, oh, if I do get this much, like, I'm going to be totally fine. I'm good. And then what do you know? My day would be totally fine. I'd still get to the gym. I'd still have like all these, this energy. So I really do think that there is for sure something to it. And yes, with the dairy and gluten, like, I totally agree. Like, too many people are eliminating things when they don't need to. But if it's like shit quality, then like eliminate it. But if it's high quality, I think I agree with you that most people can likely tolerate it.
And even in like small quantities, like, do I think everything should be like in alignment with how we evolved and where we evolved, like, ancestrally. So like, obviously we weren't like swimming in dairy, like, as we were evolving, you know what I mean? It's like, we now have all this food available at our fingertips and we overeat in certain, you know, and we're not balanced. And then we're like, oh, this is surprising. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, we are not supposed to eat that way. Right. So, you know, in moderation, in balance, in what's nourishing for you as a bio-individual human being. But I think that there, again, like, social media, and I was part of it. Like, when I was healing, I had villainized so many food groups just because they did make me bloat and they did cause pain and they did cause flares. And then I think that my perspective was such that, like, being healed means you still dance around these things forever. And, like, yeah, just now my perspective has shifted so much to, like, I have the capacity to fully heal. And yeah, in that space and in that reality, I don't have to dance around anything. And so it was just a total perspective shift.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to tell you about my favorite product from MSW Nutrition. This is something that I used for a really long time. It's called Bliss. It's basically a serotonin and dopamine booster. It's sublingual. It's like this little powder. You put it under your tongue. It is so good for mood support. It's also great for the joints. It's also great for the liver. If you have an MTHFR gene mutation, it can be wonderful for that. I take this in times when I just have a little slump socially. I'll take it then. I'll take it if I have a cocktail. That's rare. But if I do, I'll take it then. It's wonderful. Try it out. My code is VioletFog.
Okay, so I want to talk about the nervous system. So for you, because this is your expertise, like, what do you even say that the nervous system is? Like, when people ask you, like, what even is the nervous system? How are you describing it?
I basically say that it controls everything. It basically controls everything that you consciously and unconsciously do as a human being. It's sending signals to every part of the body, whether it's, you know, moving or pain or how you feel, how you think, physiologically, unconsciously, subconsciously, emotionally, it's controlling your human experience on every level. And so in my opinion, everything that we experience on every level, conscious, subconscious, unconscious, starts there.
Yeah, starts with the nervous system for sure. Okay. So, because I always feel like, because I feel like people have different descriptions, yeah, and that's my favorite descriptions that I've heard so far. So,
good.
Long story. So, you, when you started, obviously you had a ton of diagnoses. Like, I remember, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this remember you, you know, years ago, and you just had so many diagnoses thrown at you. And I feel like the same way sometimes. Like, sometimes I'm just like, holy shit, like, it's just one thing after another, you know, but, and some things like I accept, some things I don't, but how much do you think of that, of your diagnosis was nervous system dysregulation? And like, what diagnoses did you have?
I started with Graves' disease, and then it kind of was a cascade effect, and it usually is a cascade effect because everything is connected. And so, you know, perhaps there is some assault on homeostasis, and the experience of lived trauma day in and day out causes this dysregulation, which puts us in a survival state. And then we start getting diagnosis after diagnosis after diagnosis after diagnosis because we're stuck in this hypervigilant state. So that's what happened to me. It was Graves' disease. Do I think it was caused by a dysregulated nervous system? I mean, it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, I think yes, in a sense, because it was the stress of my life that triggered this predisposition, and then it just kind of perpetually became hypervigilant from then on. But it was very much physiological, as we know, like there were antibodies and there were all these, and it is always as physiological, it's all connected. But then I got, there was candida overgrowth in the gut, recurring UTIs, which I know you relate to a lot of this, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. I had mold in the body, Epstein-Barr virus. To be honest, I feel like at this point I'm like forgetting things because it just kept, it was like one thing after the other. And at the time it's like, oh my God, I'm broken. But then now where I can see it, and from a totally different lens, it's all just kind of like one and the same. Like it was just caused by this hypervigilance, and it was always going to, I was always going to continue to collect and collect and collect until I got back in that kind of wave of regulation from sympathetic to parasympathetic. And then at that point it all collapsed and got better.
That's so interesting. Like I do always say like you can't heal if you're super stressed. So like for the people listening, do you truly believe like if you bring the stress down, start regulating your nervous system, like more healing will occur?
It's not that I believe it. It's that it's scientifically proven that we can't heal unless we're in parasympathetic, which is rest and digest. And so it's, you know, it's like, yeah, what I teach in NLP, neurolinguistic programming, which is essentially the study of the subconscious mind. Okay. Well, that's not, you know, these are models of the mind. So we can't empirically prove any of it, but with the nervous system component, we can. So we can't actually heal unless we're in parasympathetic or rest and digest. And so that's why that's so important. So that's why I say to people, like, I think it's really good. Like all of the integrative work that we do is important. We have to address the physical body, but it's going to fall on deaf ears if we're taking all the supplements and we're eating all the right food, but we're stuck in fight or flight because we simply can't digest. And so we're not absorbing it. And so it's like, oh, I'm eating all the right things, but I still have these symptoms. It's like, yeah, because you're stuck in a sympathetic dominant state. You physically can't heal. So you're not even able to appreciate the nourishment that you're putting in your body. And so for me, it's like, hey, if you want to expedite your healing, or if you want to realize the ultimate benefit of your efforts, get your nervous system into rest and digest. I think that body will then get into homeostasis. 90% of the work your body will do on its own. And then it will appreciate, you know, the other 10% that is all of the integrative work that we do to help our bodies heal. But our bodies are doing the majority of the work if we can get into that space.
It's so true because it's, you know, the one thing I don't see like most functional medicine doctors doing is addressing the nervous system. And it really is so important because, I mean, even in my own life, like I was the poster child for doing like everything right. So much data, my health practice is just so on point. You know, my diet dialed in, but, and this was like a few years ago, I never once really like addressed my stress. In fact, I always would kind of look at stress as like, it just kind of mentally affects me, but it doesn't really like wear my body down, you know? And so like, and I was always stressed out, and don't get me wrong, I still get stressed out for sure. But like, that was just one component I was always missing. And so I was just stressed. I felt like I was always looking over my shoulder, like this is going to go wrong. I'm just going to get another UTI. I know it, you know, or like, you know, this food is going to like really like harm my gut. Like at the time, like that really was like how I would think. And I would just be this stress case. And then I got diagnosed with a pituitary tumor. And it was, you know, and I was just like ruthless in relentless, like in the search of like the root cause of it. And it's so funny because first Western medicine, oh, it just happens. That's what they say. Like, it just happens. We have no, you know, we have no, like, we don't know, basically. It could be genetic, could be like trauma or like a physical traumatic accident. And then functional medicine would say, a lot of them said, you know, I think it's either could be mold related, which I did live in a building in San Francisco that had mold in it, or a lot of them say trauma related because the pituitary gland and stress go hand in hand. And like my particular tumor, when prolactin releases when you're really, really stressed out. And so there's a lot of people in functional medicine that believe that the tumor that I have, that people like are experiencing, they really think in majority of the cases that they see, it's people with, as you would say, a hypervigilant nervous system and just like, you know, have not released or addressed any trauma, always, always stressed out. And I was like, holy shit, this is me. Like, this is totally me, you know, because it doesn't like make sense. Like, I live such a healthy lifestyle. Why do I have a tumor? And so then I really started working on stress, like for the first time. And it really is, it's made the biggest impact. I wish back then right away, like you had been doing this, because I would have gone to you, you know, to be like, let's freaking get this shit working again, because, and like fast track it, because it was a lot of work. Still is.
It is so much work. And I think that that's always kind of the barrier when people come to me. And I was having this conversation on a podcast on Monday, but honestly, what, I'm losing track of the day of the week. But it was like, you know, all this work, this self-regulation is just that, it's self-regulation, to where like usually we're used to going to practitioners and saying, okay, like what's wrong? Give me the data. Okay, this is what I do. I can create a list and I'll take this supplement at this time and eat this food at this time, blah, blah, blah. Great. Like that is not how this work goes. And I'm sure you know, like it is entirely you, the work that you do, the thinking and the trauma releasing and the reflection and the dismantling of limiting beliefs. And like that shit is hard. And, you know, having someone who knows the right questions to ask and stuff, like that's helpful. But ultimately to me, it's like, it's almost like the hardest work because you're having to challenge your internal filters and yourself and your values and all of that. And, yeah, it's often left last and I don't know why, because it's so important, but
It really should be first. I did this, which like, that's why I just love so much what you're doing. I really look at you as someone that can help someone fast track it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it does take so much freaking time, but you can fast track it. You just have to be willing to do the work. But I did this. I moderated this women's health panel. I feel like you would love this. And these three women, they're all experts in their field. And I was like asking them, it was hormone related, the topic, but I was like, you know, the basics are moving the biggest boulders, like clean air, clean water, supplements, food, nutrition, you know, sleep and stress. And I was like, if you could only pick one thing that has the biggest impact on the body, like only one of all of those, like what would you pick? And they all said stress.
100%.
So it is really important, you know, like I really do. I think like people need to be looking into this a whole lot more. And, but as you said, it often is last, it should be first. It is the hardest thing though. It really is. It's just like, you have to constantly check yourself and really like reevaluate your life and teach yourself like new coping mechanisms. I mean, but yeah, I love what you're doing. One of my questions is going to like get into like, what does it even look like to work with you? In fact, let's get into that one first before I have my other question. But let's say someone does hire you, Faith. Like, what can they expect? What does working with a brain training coach even look like? Like, are they with you an hour a day? Is it like, you know, Zoom call? Like what does that even, what does it entail?
I've moved mostly onto a group capacity, a hybrid coaching model, for the reason that from, you know, the data that I've studied, in time and my experience, is that the community aspect is so important when it comes to upholding your habits and your beliefs and your lifestyle. And I've seen throughout working with my clients that the hybrid model of having that community component is yielding better results. And it's not just like, you know, sometimes, it's every single time. Every single time I launch my hybrid model, every single person achieves every single goal. And it's why so many people are retaking it, because it's wildly successful. And I think the a part of that is because there's a community aspect to it. There's the support and people who are aligned in their beliefs. So working with me has moved to applying for my community, my group coaching hybrid model, which is a really intimate group. And it moves through my signature curriculum that I've written based off what I've studied and what I've experienced and feedback from my clients as I rerun the program. And it's super in depth, like super accountability focused, you know, so we go through not just the brain training. So these are, of course, brain training or, you know, like neurolinguistic programming techniques, which are seemingly simple techniques that are repeated over time. And they actually structurally change your brain to minimize the sensation of pain. But we also go through the purpose piece and the identity piece and the belief piece and really dismantle any beliefs around the body's ability to heal. So, you know, where is there stored trauma about what you don't believe for yourself? And we remove those and we create new beliefs, which throughout the 6-week program actually reprogram someone's subconscious. So by the time that they leave, they feel like they've taken a quantum leap because their whole outlook on life is different, right? They've like come out of it and they're like, holy shit, like I'm so powerful, like I'm healing, like that, you know, and it's all they've done is just change the way that they think. But I think that because you said like, you can do that work on your own and it could take you years, or you can do it with someone who knows how to guide you through it and it can take you 6 weeks. And yeah. The structure of how long I work with clients is very targeted to like actually how long it takes to structurally change your brain. And so if you can kind of get through that and structurally change it to where you now respond with safety instead of fear, that's regulation, right? That's like, okay, I've hit fight or flight, but I've come back down to rest and digest. That wave is what we're born with, and that's proper nervous system regulation. So they come out of that having actually regulated. So the power is in the response to the trigger, which is when the pain starts. And what happens when you get into rest and digest is you actually turn off the pain signals. And so that's why they feel like, oh my God, I've healed. I don't feel pain anymore. It's like, kind of, you just went into rest and digest and like, that's turning off your pain signals. And like, you realize that like, you're not broken after all. And so it's kind of a lot. I know that's like a big spiel, but it's really powerful. I spent so long writing this curriculum. As you know, I've totally shifted my focus into it. And I really do just say like the only way I can describe it is people come in and they take a quantum leap in their healing and in their life because of all the inner work that we do together.
That's so, so incredible. And your work is needed more than ever before. So I absolutely love it. And I love the fact that it is a group aspect because I think there is something to like, you know, when you see other people healing and other people like addressing things and relating is such a like human component that we all need. So I think that's amazing. Okay. So, and then in the intro, I'm also going to like mention where people can find you and sign up for that too. And I love your tips that you give on TikTok. I know you give a lot of free information on like what to do, but let's say someone does not have the means to hire you. Like what are some things right now that they can start doing on their own?
The best thing that you can do is start becoming aware of the new science in pain, just education. Like it's actually a treatment to start becoming aware of where pain comes from, which is the brain. So the brain is really just a computer collecting evidence. So in essence, if you want to heal, you need to collect evidence that's in alignment with your healing. So you want to start, you know, Google it or go to WebMD and start researching like the updates in pain science. Where does pain come from? It comes from the brain, not the tissue. So this is huge for you. It's going to start, it's going to basically retrain your subconscious to start to look for opportunities for healing just by researching that evidence. I would start by buying books by Joe Dispenza or Dr. Bruce Lipton or listening to free podcasts where they've been interviewed. They've got YouTube videos that are free. What else? Podcasts galore. I have a podcast, That Healing Feeling, but you could literally just type in neuroplasticity, NLP, brain training, nervous system regulation. I would start there. And then of course I have, you know, I do have like lower ticket offers as well if someone's just like dipping their feet in the water. But I think as always, like people will say, oh, I'm just not ready to invest. And I'm like, listen, if you want to make the change, there is so much free information out there that you could make a massive, massive change and turn your life around if you're willing to just sit in front of the computer and, you know, do some Googling and educate yourself on the topic and you can always reach out to me on Instagram and be like, what are some other free resources? And then, you know, I won't be so off the cuff and I can think of lots of options, you know, that you can dig into.
For sure. Okay. Thank you. I think that that's so true. You have to just start believing that there's even science out there, you know, I think just searching for that instead of, that's so cool. Yeah. Pain comes from the brain. That's really helpful for people to know. Okay.
Yeah.
So I fully believe that disease can start with the nervous system being out of whack. What about infections though? Like, is there something we can do for infections when it comes to our nervous systems? Like to me, like UTIs, like, you know, I've been having that since I was a baby. Like, I feel like that can't be like just nervous. I could see like my nervous system maybe making it like worse, but I feel like my nervous system dysregulation can't be the cause of UTIs when it's infection based. Like, what would you have to say about that?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I can relate because, you know, I had UTIs forever and they're literally the worst. It's like that and nausea are my two least favorite sensations. But they really are the pits. No, I mean, again, like things are obviously like we are human. And so we are going to experience like actual, you know, these are all physical sensations or imbalances happening in the body, some insult to homeostasis on some level. So it's very real. I think that what happens to us when it becomes chronic, so let's say we have chronic UTIs, because the message is sent from the brain to send the sensation to whatever the sensation is we're feeling, the brain says, send the sensation down for how long to send the sensation and how intense should the sensation be. And that's what the brain is constantly commanding down. And so when it's chronic, basically it's just memorized that response. So regardless of the, I guess like the impact of the infection, the severity will continue to increase because that neural pathway is trained. So that's how it becomes chronic. It's a trained neural pathway. So it's like, oh shit, this has happened again. Let's make it as physically painful as possible. So like the body will know that this is going on. Cause like we've been here before and like this sucks. So like, let's make it really, really bad. And so people will experience with chronic pain, it's like the pain becomes so much worse every single time. And they're like, why is it so much worse now than it used to be? So I don't think that just by like regulating that it's going to instantly go away, but a couple things will happen. One, it's going to make the pain decrease significantly if we can regulate, because we have so much fear associated with chronic pain because we've been there so many times that we go into hypervigilance right away. It's like, shit, it's a UTI. I can feel it. Like I have that horrible sensation after I peed and it's happening and it's all going tits up, you know? Yeah. And it's like, that's going to turn on pain receptors and make them worse. So we don't actually really know how bad it's supposed to feel because of that. So if we can regulate, we can at least find a little bit of relief because it's going to turn off pain receptors, but it's also going to get us into rest and digest, which means we actually allow our body to engage its natural ability to heal and restore. So it often is unable to happen for us in a chronic situation because we are stuck in fight or flight. So we're constantly relying on all these antibiotics or supplements because we like physically can't get back into homeostasis because we can't heal. But if we can get into rest and digest, and maybe we don't have to do all those things because our body will naturally start to use its own defense mechanisms. And so I just think it's all around the premise, like our body is constantly fighting to get into homeostasis. It's fighting to get back into that place, but it just can't do those things when we're stuck in that hypervigilant state. Again, there's, you know, what's causing the recurring UTIs, that is something to be addressed. But I think our experience physically can be much improved. And then whatever it is that's causing the recurring UTIs, like that can be healed as well. If we can stay in rest and digest and regulate on a consistent basis, because that's going to take time, that like underlying issue. And like that was it for me, like Epstein-Barr virus was causing me to have recurring UTIs for like 10 years. Yeah. And even this work would help. It was like getting into rest and digest and regulating on a consistent basis helped me heal from that. And then the UTIs went away and never came back. But it took getting into a like consistent place of regulation for me to heal like the bigger picture things.
Yeah, for sure. That does make so much sense. That is one area where I really could use some. I need to be better about regulating because the second I feel a UTI starting, I freak out. I'm like, no, oh my gosh, no, this is awful. Frantically like running around looking for my like heating pack, you know, tearing through my supplement drawer to like get whatever and like get on top of it. But Yes, that makes so much sense. It would likely manifest itself much differently if I went about it extremely calm and just believe myself.
It would, but then what I say to my clients, it's like it is a normal human response to not go about that completely calm, because we are like we are literally designed to biologically react to pain. So yeah. I think every single person, not I think, I know every person who's a human would react to pain that way when it becomes chronic. And it's only when we become aware that like the nervous system component and all of this, and then do the regulation work, that we're able to not react that way, because like it's counterintuitive to not react to pain with hypervigilance and like, oh my God, right? Because like we're supposed to do that in a normal situation, but we're not supposed to have chronic pain. So it's just kind of weird. It's like our reality now doesn't align with how we evolved. And that's why we're seeing this problem, because we're not supposed to have chronic sensations like these. And so that's what's causing it more than anything else.
Yeah, totally. That makes so much sense. Okay.
If you haven't tried a potion yet, what are you waiting for? Violet Fog Potions is an adaptogenic latte, no caffeine, that is a great ritual to have every single day. Now we have two blends for you. One is the stress/stamina blend. That is like a healthy hot chocolate. It has things in it that are super good for stress, of course, circulation, brain health, mood support. That one, a lot of people love it as a caffeine replacement. Sometimes they'll even use it to wind down in the evening, or they'll use it as that afternoon pick-me-up. The other blend that we have is the Focus Blend. That's like a lemon ginger, kind of grassy undertone flavor. That one is really good for people who have shiny objects everywhere. They have a hard time focusing. They need more brain support. It's also wonderful for circulation. I love that one in the afternoon, especially when I need just a good 3 hours of brain power. If you want to check it out, use code MYFIRSTPOTION.
So you're a brain training coach. You are obviously like, if anyone knows how to get like regulate the nervous system quick, it's you. So my question is, do you ever freak the F out? Like, do you ever just like freaking lose it? Or like, do you always calm it down within like a few seconds? Like, is there room for like some imperfection and you can still heal? Or like, you know, what's your answer to that?
I think that there is like a notion that those emotions of like anger and frustration are not in alignment with healing. And I hate to use the word alignment so often, but I don't align with that. I think that emotions are energy in motion, right? So energy can't be created or destroyed. So if you don't express it, it's going to stay in your physical body and manifest later in a trauma. So if you're feeling angry or you're feeling frustrated, the most healthy thing you can do is like get it out, or else that energy is stored and then later becomes a physical symptom. So if I'm frustrated or I'm angry or whatever, I express that. And it's like, you know, whatever. I had an example of that the other day that I won't go into. And I was like the most frustrated I've been in so long. And I was like, wow, that was like a lot of energy just then. But I've learned to let it out. Like, I know it's so healthy, because it's like, again, like we are not immune to the human experience. Like, you
what
can't
does that experience. Look like? Are you like screaming into a pillow? Are you like hitting the bag? Like, what does that look like?
Well, I didn't have a pillow at my disposal when this happened to me. So I was just crying and like angry and like saying things that I didn't mean with my husband, not to him or about him, but about the situation, to just get it out of my system. You know, I was like, I'm just so fucking angry. And like, these are all the things I feel right now. And I'm just, and I was just like sobbing, crying. And then I afterwards was like, okay, I got this out. And like, obviously, I feel so much better. I think, yeah, of course, there's like a healthy way to get your anger out. Like, obviously, you can't be, you know, like taking yourself out on other people or, you know, hurting someone with your words or your hands. But I really am a strong believer that these energies do manifest in physical symptoms in the body. So again, like, it's got to go somewhere. And the emotion either stays inside or goes out. But I think there's a difference between like anger in the moment at something versus like constantly having fear towards a sensation, right?
Yeah, totally. For sure. That makes so much sense. That makes sense too. Like, why when you do allow yourself to cry or feel it, you feel so much better after. So some, I'm yeah. like thinking to myself right now too, because I'm thinking of this one time when I lived in San Francisco and I didn't always have good, I have good coping mechanisms now for stress, but I definitely did not always, but every now and then I would do the right thing. And I remember I was dating this guy. We were long distance and we got into this like huge fight and I was so freaking pissed. And instead of just like, you know, like usually like I would just like try and like quench it or just be like, okay, no, I'm not going to let myself, but that was like the worst thing I could do because it would just be strung along. I remember being like, I'm just going to go for a walk. I'm just going to go for like a walk and like, you know, get this out. And I remember I was just like on a mission when I was walking, just like, like huffing and puffing. And I was just so serious. And I remember just like walking so like fast too, like through San Francisco. And when I got back, I remember checking my Instagram and there was someone who wrote me and they were like, hey, like I just saw you on the street. I wanted to say hi, but you look like you meant business and you were like mad or something. And like,
oh my gosh,
out of a movie, just someone just like blowing past everyone. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's yep, so that was funny. Me.
But I expressed it in a way that was, you know, I got it out and I did feel so much better. Okay. So point is you're saying it's okay that you feel those things, but like get it out, like quickly move through it so that you can get back to being balanced.
Because what you have to understand about the subconscious mind is that it's highly moral and it stores everything until it's resolved. So like if you have a situation that isn't resolved, it's literally going to continue to bring it up over and over and over and over again. Yes. And it's going to manifest this trauma. And like, we might not even realize that it's coming up, but it's coming up and it's bringing along physical sensations. Yeah. And that's how chronic illness happens. And we have no idea how much stored trauma is sitting in our subconscious mind, just waiting to be resolved. And so I'm like, now that I know what I know to be true, I am not letting anything else sit there. So if I am frustrated, I'm like, I'm letting it out in any capacity. Same thing, walk, run, pillow, wherever I am. The only thing I'm careful to do is like, obviously, Matt and I have this thing, Matt, my husband, well, I know you know, but is like, we're never angry or anything like that around the like our kids. But other than that, it's like, okay, if you're angry, you can vent to me, which is, you know, so it's good also to have someone you can vent to without judgment. I'm a huge fan of that.
So true. Okay. So I want to know, obviously I'm the potion gal, like, what do you think about adaptogens? Like I always say, like, you can't out adaptogen stress. You can't regulate your nervous system with adaptogens alone. That is one thing I hate that a lot of like blends do. I feel like they make it seem like you're just going to be chilled the fuck out and totally good if you just take adaptogens. You can't, like, that's, it's just, you know, no way. I think it's helpful. Do you think there is some merit to them helping with the HPA access if you're also doing the mental work?
1,000,000%. Everything is a multi-pronged approach, right? Like I don't think you can really do anything in isolation in life. And especially when it comes to healing or managing your stress. And so it's super prudent to look at how you can attack it from all angles. Like, obviously I attack it from this angle because it's my area of expertise and you attack it from your angle because it's your area of expertise, but there's 100% merit in both. And like, if we're talking about like optimizing or like living your best life, as people say, then absolutely you need to bring in those tools that are going to help you get to that place and like support that health. I'm a huge fan. Obviously, now that I'm pregnant, I'm kind of a little bit like not doing anything. but yeah, I mean, obviously I was actually, it's funny because like I had two cohorts ago. One of the girls was like, do you know Violet Fog potions? She's like, I bulk ordered it. She was like drinking it on the group coaching call. I was like, oh my gosh, I do. And it was in relation to the nervous system work that we were doing. And so like the more you go into that work, the more you realize that there are, oh, this is exciting. There are so many tools that can help support this process that can be, and like you always say, like, it's more than just like taking it in. It's also like that moment that you punctuate your day with mindfulness and you get into that space. And so like, there's so many reasons why doing something like that is so important, because that's what my client was saying. She's like, it's this awesome opportunity to implement what we're doing as I'm making my potion and like to sit there and be mindful and habit stack and blah, blah, blah. It's amazing. I you need to ship internationally actually, because you know, I don't have any more potions.
No, I know. I remember one day when we did your podcast and we had the stress and stamina blend, remember we were buzzing so high. Like that
was so good. I love, oh my gosh. I know. I wish I could try your new, I feel like there have been like two blends since then or one blend. I don't know.
Focus blend. Yeah. When you're not pregnant, I'm going to find a way to ship it to you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Oh my gosh. I'll need it. You don't sleep with a newborn. So
you'll love that one. I'll make sure to get it to you for sure. Yeah, okay. So I want to know before we close out, what is it, just to like make this even more tangible for people, what's a recent success story, like get as detailed as possible, like client-wise, that blows your mind?
I just published a case study on one of my clients who healed her gluten and dairy intolerance in the program. Now, I use this very lightly, like not to say that just anyone should just go like eat dairy and gluten and be like, this is fine and they'll be fine. But again, she was a situation who had a broken gut, healed it, but was still symptomatic. And so like she'd been healing her gut for like 6 months, but she was still having all the same symptoms for eating gluten and dairy. And so what she wanted to get from the program, because everyone comes in with their goals and I review them and say, yes, this is achievable. No, this is not achievable. Her goals were to be able to eat gluten and dairy without any physiological response, which like hers was really bad. Like she literally like almost would think about it and would be in pain for days, like if it had the slightest bit of gluten and dairy. And by week 4, she was eating gluten and dairy without any response in the body at all, because all of the work we'd done was around that. But to be honest, like that was a huge win, because it's very like a lot of people can relate to that, but it's been really incredible.
Back. Like food was, you know, food, like, cause I feel like you get a lot of your life back when you're able to eat more of the food. I just believe like food is such a like happiness, you know? And like to some people, it really is devastating to have to take out dairy and gluten, and maybe for like a second they have to, but once the healing's done, yeah, like you said, they're so scared to bring it back. I think that's so amazing.
Especially dairy. I feel like gluten is like, this is just a personal opinion, I feel like gluten's like whatever, but like I mean, I'm sorry, but a piece of cheese, like a cheese night, this is where I'm like, that is like heaven sent to me.
Oh my gosh, totally. I feel like maybe I should even like, because I avoid dairy because I get eczema in like 2 seconds. Mm. You know, I wonder if that is tied to nervous system stuff. If my body's just saying, okay, like do you think that is, or do you think that is a true allergy? Because I feel like it's a true allergy.
I don't know. I'd have to like know more about, like, have you seen an allergist? Do they say like?
Yeah, actually I did. I did like the most like expensive allergy test possible, and they said that they've never seen it more off the charts for dairy.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I mean, so I use the word intolerance because I do think, I mean, there's a difference between an allergy and intolerance, or like for example, if you like celiac and you're like, I want to eat gluten, I'm like, I don't know about that. Maybe in some world, but I'm not the person for that. So allergy is a bit different than intolerance. If you came into my program and said, I want to be able to eat dairy at the end, but I have an off the charts allergy, I would probably say, I'm not sure I could deliver on that. So unfortunately, like, I don't know. I almost feel like if you read Joe Dispenza's book on like, he literally like healed his spine with brain training, and they said he would never walk again. And so like, I, in my heart of hearts, I believe that we have the capacity to heal anything with this kind of work. I just don't feel like I've tapped into like the full extent, or anyone has. I feel like he's one of the closest to having done that, because like no one since then has been able, that we like know of, has been able to like heal to that level through this work. So I always say to people, like, I'm sure it's possible. I'm sure we could heal anything. But based off the work and the techniques I know, I wouldn't feel confident telling someone who's celiac to incorporate gluten, or someone who is off the charts allergies to incorporate dairy, you know, but I would feel confident saying, okay, if you've had like this chronic pain or any unwanted chronic sensation, I would feel confident saying we can significantly reduce that in 6 weeks. To where like I had a client in my most recent cohort who couldn't sit at all for years. She's been laying already. We're not even done, and she can sit for 15 minutes. And like, this is years that she hasn't been able to do something like this. That's and so like these kinds of things, I can say, yes, without a shadow of a doubt, you can decrease, if not eliminate, but I only guarantee decrease, that, you know, this chronic sensations through neuroplasticity work.
That's so amazing. So for anyone who's dealing with pain, nervous system dysregulation, Faith is your girl. Where can where can people find you?
So on social media, I'm That Healing Feeling. And then my website is faithashenden.com.
Okay, awesome. And I'll have all of this in the intro. You know, like a good podcaster, I'm learning. I'm going to make sure that I have all that info for everyone. Faith, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking with you. We miss you here in the States, but so happy to see you thriving in the UK.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.